Welcome to the Free to Be Show with Cordelia Gafar. On the Free to Be Show, we explore and discover ourselves. What is it that is stopping us from being free to self-accept, to have self-compassion, to have self-forgiveness, and most importantly, to show up in the world as powerfully as we possibly can? During each episode, I will interview people who have just chosen to be free, to be themselves. Now for tonight's show.
Hello, Diane. I'm so super excited to have you on my show. And I was on your show last month, actually. And we met, it's been how long now? I think it's been like 3 or 4 years.
I think at least, yeah. We actually met at the very first Can You See Me event with our friend Yolanda Johnson.
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
So, and ever since then, we've, you know, kind of bounced around town and online, supporting each other's book projects and everything. So I just love everything that you're about, and I thought, who better to have on my newly branded Free to Be podcast? But Diane Hallworth, look, and I'm mispronouncing your name horribly, so because I only call you Diane.
Right. Yep. Most people say Diane Hayworth, but I've gone by all kinds of things. So yeah, that's great. Not a problem.
Great. So why don't we just jump in? I know you. But our listeners don't. So tell us your story and how you started on your path.
You know, I think like lots of folks, I was looking to find answers in my own life. So I grew up in a very small little town, and that's where I am right now, actually, in Low Warrenton, Virginia, which is a small town about 50 miles outside of Washington, D.C. So we had the advantage of having a really small community feel, but the big city wasn't too far away. So that was kind of nice. And it also made our small town have a different kind of feel to it. We had different people that lived here. That was really instrumental, I think, in the way that I developed, because it made me more aware that there were things outside of this tiny little town.
Yeah.
When I say tiny, when I was little, we had a party line. For any of you that are young and don't know what that is, that means literally there was like 5 or 6 families on one telephone. So, and we lived in town. So it's been really fun to watch the area evolve. That's been wonderful. But like everybody else, right, I had challenges. I had it's 2 sick parents that I dealt with. And because I stayed locally, I helped take care of them. My dad's final years were just really traumatic. We were both really close to each other. My mom had passed several years before that. And learning to deal with what we were going through with him is what led actually to my book, How to Choose Love When You Just Want to Slap Somebody, because that's how I felt a lot of times.
Yes.
Between that, some health issues and weight issues that I actually had when I was younger, problems with the birth of my first child. She was born, this is 35 years ago, she was born at 2 pounds, 12 weeks early.
Wow.
Which is a big thing now, but 35 years ago, it was really big, and we didn't know if either of us were going to survive. Was in an abusive relationship. So, you know, I had stuff.
A little bit.
I had stuff, but like everybody does. And I did what I thought, you know, the good girls do. I went to church and I read and I prayed and I watched. Back then we were watching Phil Donahue. Eventually we watched Oprah. And I tried to do things that were right. What I eventually figured out was that my answers were never going to be out here. Hmm. My answers were always here. And it was with that, what I call divine love, that intelligent, creative, expansive energy that's in all of us. That's connecting and living a life guided by that is what helped see me through all of these challenges. And what just, keeps me connected to joy and happiness and freedom and peace today at levels that I've actually never experienced before.
That is so powerful, you know, and I really want to bring attention to the fact that you said you realize that your answers are not outside of you. And that's a really key point, because as women, I always have that conversation with women where they're looking for the self-validation, and you're looking for self-validation, but by going to someone who doesn't know you, right? Who's not you, and who's not living and experiencing life the way you do. And when we quiet ourselves and allow that divine love, as you say, to come and, you know, let that wisdom surface, then that's when we really become a whole different person. So what choices did you make? You said you were in an abusive relationship. Mm-hmm. So then what happened?
Actually, I started meditating, which I have to tell you, in my tiny little town, was like that and yoga, and people thought I had gone off the deep end. That's how small this little town was. But I started meditating consistently. So I've been doing that for over 25 years now. And it literally changed my life. So what I understand, and what I just tell anybody that will stop in an elevator with me for 30 seconds to listen, is that your thoughts, and some people call it your ego, your personality, whatever you want to call it, I realized that's what had gotten me into some of the situations that I had. That's some of the things that would rationalize staying in an abusive relationship, for example. Or even when my parents were ill, that's not the reason they were ill, but it certainly contributed to how I could show up for them. Was I going in there resentful and upset, or could I go in there with an open heart, ready to help? Yeah. What I realized was meditation not only changed my brain chemistry, because that's what it does, right? And it boosts your immune system, it increases your sense of happiness, fulfillment, it does all those things. But what it did was quiet those little voices in my head that said, you can't do this. You know, you don't deserve any better than this. It allowed the real truth to come up. The truth that said, it's time to leave. Truth that said, it's time to take care of your body. The truth that said, you are being a model for your children. Mm-hmm. Do you want to show your children that this is a way someone accepts a relationship? But it really was a pivotal point for me to use meditation to really, that's like one of the main reasons that I have and I teach people to connect to their own inner wisdom. Because believe me, this is not wise. This is not wise. This is not wise. This is wise. And whatever, you know, what's true in all of us, because I believe we're all connected, that, and like I said, the intelligent, creative, expansive energy that runs the universe, that creates galaxies, whatever you want to call it, that part of you knows what's best. But if you're, and in my case, this was true, I was so busy beating myself up and making excuses that I couldn't hear the voice of truth. I mean, literally, it would have been like, it would have like being in the middle of a Super Bowl field after a winning touchdown and a little mouse trying to speak. The rest of it, like, you know what I mean? It was just too loud. Meditation calmed the noise. So I really could hear, feel, understand, and act on what was best for me. And my emotions told me that. I just felt better. It just felt more true, more freeing, more peaceful. That was actually, I would say, the key. When I was thinking something, or my ego or personality was telling me to do something, there would be frustration, fear, overwhelm. There would be a horrible anxiousness. When I was allowing myself to be guided by my heart, there was just this sense of peace that actually I hadn't experienced before. It took me a while to even like identify that's what it was, Cordelia, because I didn't know what it was. But I thought, hey, I guess this is that peace thing they talk about. I want more.
So where did you find meditation though? Like, how did you find it?
So this is like the funniest thing ever. And I don't know how many people will understand this, but at the time I was going to a little tiny Presbyterian church here in my town. And we don't do anything cool, by the way. I mean, it's like, they just don't. But the minister at the time had discovered the work of a guy named Thomas Keating, I think is his name. And he was studying the lost art of meditation that had actually been, I don't know if banned is the right word, but discouraged in the traditional Catholic church. And he had found it and brought it back into something he called silent prayer. So I started going to a couple little classes with him. So it's really unusual to learn that in a church environment, traditional church environment. But that's actually where I learned it.
Yeah, I was thinking, like, you're in Warrington, and you know, 35 years ago or something, like, really? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, nobody's more surprised but me. But, you know, I think it's what they say is true. When you're ready, the right teacher, the right situation, it evolved. I didn't know anybody that meditated. When I mentioned something to my parents at the time, you know, my dad said that's what the hippies did at Woodstock. That's like, that's
what he thought it was. That's what I'm
thinking. Yeah, I'm sure he was thinking, you know, I was going to be doing drugs next. I don't know what he was thinking, but I know he didn't think it was cool, but it was just life-changing. Just absolutely life-changing for me.
So once you changed your inside world, your outside world started to look different in different ways. So in the next segment, we'll get more into what happened next. Who do you serve? How did you come to know that you're serving those people? And, you know, of course, we're going to hear more of how we can connect with you. All right. We'll be right back. All right. So we're back. So I want to know more about, like, your methodology and who you work with and how you serve them. Do you have like a 3 or 5 step process you can share with us?
I do have a process, and it's evolved, and I bet yours has too. When I first started coaching, I had been actually working in regular jobs for years and years and years. And when I knew I wanted to coach, I started hiring coaches. So I started sampling different ways to work with people because I thought it was fascinating, and it just helped build a tool set for me. One of the things that I realized that really resonated with me and helped me make positive changes was integrating traditional coaching methods with energy work. So actually I did even a lot more energy work in the beginning. Now I have gone to a place where I am working people through so that they can understand how to live what I call a heart-centered, successful life. To me, that's when your purpose and your passion fuel your actions. So instead of coming from, I'm going to have a job because my husband's making me, or, you know, I'm going to show them I can do this, whatever. I really want your purpose in the world to be fueling what you do. And sometimes that's confusing for people. So we help connect them to their own inner source of wisdom. But there are tips, tools, techniques. You don't just flip a switch. You know, it didn't work that way for me, right?
Me neither.
So I will work with clients to bring them through that because, as you know, clients come to us where they are. Yeah. My clients understand, and they do have a spiritual desire. They want to bring mind, body, and spirit into everything they do. So that's good. They also, while they have goals, this is not specifically goal-oriented. If you want to make, I don't know, $100,000 this year, go get a business coach. I'm not the person for you. If you want to understand how to shift your internal perspective to support greater health, greater relationships, success in business, that's the kind of thing that I help people with. And we use, as I said, traditional as well as some energy techniques. I always have everybody meditate We do that kind of stuff. Visualizations, intention work. I'm working with some people right now where we do blessings, and we do blessings for people that really tick them off, quite frankly. If once you understand that everybody's a reflection of you, then you can understand this is some reflection of you. Let's find out what's going on. Bless that person, bless yourself. And it's a really very powerful process that has evolved into one of my passion projects. And I know you and I have talked about that. And that is my Be Love Principles. That's a set of four principles that actually came to me in meditation. I don't always have that occur, but I did have it occur in this particular time. And those four principles are: greet everyone with an open heart without an agenda. See the divine essence in everyone and everything. Forgive quickly, completely, and unconditionally. And remember, you never left the light of the all. So we will work people through a process using those principles. So if somebody's coming to me with health concern, they're coming to me with a relationship issue. It could be a business issue that's more, they know something's not right, and it's, I'm not going to work with them on QuickBooks, or, you know, I'm not doing your social media. We're not doing that. Right. But we're working around mindset. Mindset and presence. And where is your presence? Is your presence in your challenge, or is in your presence in your heart where all your solutions are?
Wow.
Those are the kinds of things that we do now.
That sounds really powerful. I want to dissect some of the stuff you were talking about. So energy work. So when you say energy work, the first thing that comes to me is Reiki.
I'm a Reiki master, actually.
Yeah. So do you still incorporate that or not so much?
I don't do Reiki sessions, meaning I don't have a table anymore. People don't come in and do that. I used to, but I don't now. But I think once you understand how to use energy, you kind of can't not use it.
I know, right?
You know what I mean? You can't not use it. So there's several modalities that gave me, I would say, confidence. And what I do now is intuitively listen for what that client needs. And that's what I ask. Before I see a client, I will sit in meditation and I'll say, show me what they need. Just help me understand. And I'll see things, I'll hear things, maybe what I'll do. In conflict, for example, this is kind of a good story. I had a beautiful lady that came to me. She was really at the end of a marriage. And because of financial reasons, they both had to be in the same house at the same time. Mm. They could not afford for one to leave before the house sold. And what she told me was everything was pretty cool during the week. He went her way, she went her way, you know, everything was fine. But on the weekends, they'd both be in the kitchen at the same time and they'd start fighting. And I can't believe you did this and all that. So I taught her this technique, which is super simple. I believe in the vibration of colors, and I told her to imagine her soon-to-be ex-husband encompassed in a bubble of pink light, and to imagine herself that way as well. And it just, when I'm dealing with little kids, I'll actually tell them to imagine they've got somebody in a bubblegum bubble. That's what I do. So what it does is help... it affects the energy in the auric field around someone. And it also gives her something to do besides focusing on how mad she is at this guy, right? Because, right. You know, he took the last coffee cup or whatever he did. So she's like, okay, I'll do that. We had actually had a session on a Friday. And I got a text on Sunday night, and she said, oh my gosh, I can't believe this. I did that. We met in the kitchen. I started getting upset. I left. I visualized him in pink. I visualized me in pink. She said, by the end of Sunday, he came to me and said, you know, I'm so sorry this didn't work. I really wish we could have made it work. I know we can't. Tell you what, I'm happy to give you a recommendation to your next husband.
Wow.
They never, just changing her focus, doing that kind of little quick simple techniques, right, just can change things. what I try to have them understand too is you do something without attachment.
Hmm.
Right? You can't be attached, like all of a sudden I'm going to put him in a pink bubble and this guy who's acting kind of like a jerk is going to be Prince Charming. He's got his own path and that's his business, not yours. But what I do help people understand is when they change their focus, instead of her seeing him as the other, right, the enemy, she saw him encompassed in this beautiful pink bubble of love. Pink is the compassion, love, that kind of thing.
Right.
Her experience changed. And that's what happens. Our experience will change. When my dad was sick toward the end, what I did not stop my dad from passing away.
Right.
But what it did do was help me be more present to who he was right now. Mm-hmm. So that I had more mental focus. I was calmer. I could actually be an advocate for him when I needed to be. And I was just less nuts, quite frankly.
Yeah.
I was still sad. I still had to deal with it, but was I going to deal with it overstressed, eating stuff and, you know what I mean, making things worse? Or was I going to be as calm and loving as I could be?
Yeah. Wow. So what did that do for you as far as your grieving process? Like, you knew he was going to pass and you were already doing the inner work.
Yeah. What it did was, it was really, there was a pivotal time, actually. My sister and I were in a waiting room, and it was a great name for the room because that's all we did in there, right? It was wait for a doctor, a test result or something. And at this point, Daddy had been in the hospital for probably, 13 months. I mean, it was just ER hospital. Then we'd go to a nursing home. Then he would break something. It just was horrible. It was just horrible. So we were waiting for somebody to come talk to us. And my sister, who literally is an angel on earth, like, look it up in the dictionary. That's a picture of my sister. She's just the sweetest, most kindest person, right, that you can ever imagine. And she was ready to knock somebody out. I mean, she was just, we had had things with insurance was messed up and just all these things that could go wrong were going wrong. Mm-hmm. So I was looking out the window and she said to me, what are we going to do? Like, what are we going to do? And, it just gets me even to thinking about it now. I said that, and this wasn't coming from me. It came through me. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Because I'm not smart enough to do this, to be honest with you. I'm smart, but I'm not God smart. It was just, we're going to ask love. We're going to ask love what to do, and we're going to let love lead us. We're going to let love lead us. We're going to love Daddy through this. We're going to love the doctors and nurses. We're going to love each other. We're going to even love the insurance company, which, believe me, I did not think was going to be able to be done. And it was miraculous when that shift occurred. It really was. Everything just changed. There was this stupid insurance issue. Daddy had great insurance. But there was one of these things where something had been billed incorrectly. And we had been fighting for 6 months. And everybody that we talked to said, oh, this is no big deal. We've got it. No big deal. And then it would just not work. It would just not work. So we did that. That went off. And what happened was the next day we got a call that said, hey, we saw you had an insurance issue. It's all taken care of. And it was.
Wow.
There was a nurse that we didn't care for. She just didn't resonate with us. I'll put it that way. She mysteriously got transferred to another floor. And the nurses that took care of Daddy just deeply loved him and appreciated him. I was able to be with who he was right there. Mm. Instead of thinking Daddy should be the way he was 5 years ago.
Right.
My experience of everything changed. I was just able to be so much more present and aware and calmer. Still sad. I mean, you don't like to see that happen, but just so much more present and able to focus. And things that seemed to be just mountains of issues you know, was like an annoyance and you would take care of it. But, you know, there was just a, you know what it was, Cordelia? There was a trust in the process that I didn't have before. Because I was trusting in something outside of myself. I couldn't fix it. I couldn't fix the hospital. I couldn't fix Daddy. I couldn't fix what was going on. But something that was bigger and connected to all of us, if I could just relax into the flow of love, that's when everything changed. That's when everything changed.
Basically, like, you leaned into love, and then the pathways, you know, were made clear, and you were able to be present with your dad. And that's really beautiful. You know, I think about your story, and what I'm really hearing is that it's the same place in our body, right? Where we're fearing and where we're loving, you know? So instead of working yourself to a place where you can't think, right, you worked yourself to a place where you can.
And I'm really practical. So I had two questions that had come to me, and this is what I used for everything. What does love look like here? And how does love move me forward?
Questions.
And if I was able to go back to that space and not go, what does love look like here to Diane? What does love look like here and listen? And I was journaling, I was doing other things that would help keep me connected. But the really big one was, how does love move me forward? Not how does Diane's ego move us forward? Because I'll just tell you, that just didn't work very well. It just didn't. It just didn't, and it still doesn't.
Yeah.
So when I ask, how does love move me forward? And to me, love is Allah, universe, spirit, God, whatever you call that big energy. That's what love is to me. Not the affection, the energy of love.
Right. And we talked about this in my interview also, like the different levels of love. So for someone who's starting out, like a lot of the people that come to you, like, how do you get them to grow in that space where they can lean into it?
Well, that's interesting, isn't it? Because as a coach, we know we can't get anybody to do anything.
Okay, yes, this is the right wrong question.
Yeah, what we can do is encourage them. And I also want to make sure that when I'm coaching someone, that it's a right fit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There are some people that will want to come to me, and really what they want to do is rehash the past. That's what a counselor does. Right. That's what a counselor does. Then I'll have people that will come to me and say, just tell me what to do. Okay. That's what a consultant does. What a coach does is help you where you are now and help you understand how to move forward. But they're the ones that have to do the work. So when somebody comes to me, they're already in a place where, you know what, I want my life to change. And help give me tools to do that. So what we'll do is, depending on where they are, right? Because some people are really at the very, very beginning. And some people have been doing this for a while and they just want more of a spiritual tweak, perhaps.
Yes.
Or some a new insight. Because every coach is going to give you a new insight. That's going to be something that's wonderful. And so depending where they are will dictate what I do with them. But it's always going to encompass mind, body, spirit. It's always going to encompass how are you going to stay connected to love, particularly in stressful situations. It's always going to probably have aspects of the Be Love principles. And that's because I find forgiveness is so necessary.
Yeah.
In all of our work, no matter what is going on. Usually there's, like, let's just say 110% of the time, there's some element of forgiveness. And as much as people want to think it's this is who they have to, right? It has to start here. Yes. And move outwards.
Yeah.
That's the way it seems to work for me.
So let's talk a little bit about vibration now that you brought that up, like the self-forgiveness comes in from inside. So once someone works with you and they get to a place where they've really embraced the self-compassion and the self-forgiveness, then, I mean, you gave the one example of how that divorcing couple ended up. I mean, what are some other examples that you could share?
You know, one of the most powerful ones, I had a beautiful woman that came to me. I do work with men and women, but they tend to be women. And she was a single mom, and she had a very rambunctious, we'll say, teenage boy. There was just a lot of verbal abuse on both of their sides. There was just a lot of fighting, a lot of push and pull kind of going on, a lot of resentment. She was exhausted. She lived out in my area and commuted into Northern Virginia, which here, that's anywhere from an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours each way. Then you work all day, right? So she had lots of things to work on. And as we worked her through the process, one of the, it was just so amazing. She said to me, oh my goodness, the son did this and I didn't feel anger. I just felt compassion for him because I could see his fear. That was huge.
Yeah.
Once she could identify this wasn't him trying to attack her, this was a flavor of his own fear.
Yeah.
Her reaction to him was entirely different. And after another month or so, they were like best buds. It was incredible because literally I thought they were headed for, I don't know, Dr. Phil's show. I mean, it was like that, okay?
Yes.
But that's what happens when you understand how you are fueling any situation you're in. You have to understand how you're fueling it, right? Yeah. And then you have to understand when you learn to do some of the observer components, right? And you can observe what's happening, then you can really see the divine essence in the other person. You can learn to forgive yourself, learn to forgive them, realize, I mean, good grief, a mother and son, of course they're in that same energy. It was just their personalities were having an issue like that. So what is the most rewarding part of my work is when people physically feel more peaceful. They feel free from food addictions, free from all kinds of addictions. I'm not an addiction coach. Somebody will work with a psychologist if that is one of their issues, but I've worked with many people who've had abuse issues or that sort of thing to help them understand they are not their addiction. They are not their weight. They are not what the world may say they are, that they are that divine spark. And to really love themselves from that perspective. And then the rest of this stuff starts to straighten out, Cordelia. It just starts to straighten out.
I hear you, Diane. In fact, like what I'm hearing overall, you know, it's so neat. I'm so happy with my new name of my podcast now. Like, because every conversation, it comes up, free to be, you know?
Yeah. It is. I mean, there is such, I mean, I know for myself. This time of year, we're recording this in a holiday season, right? But this really for me, I had to say, is 365 days of the year, the old me. I would just wake up in a panic. Oh my gosh, what do I have to do today? I'm never going to get it done. I am free from that.
Yeah.
Now, I still have days where I have a big to-do list, but the way I approach it is so much different. I am not 50 shades of crazy like I used to be.
Yes.
I mean, I'm just not. And I mean, my kids will tell you that. They'll be the first ones to tell you that, actually.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Because, like, you know, I evolved, I would say, from being a monster mom.
Oh, there you go.
Like,
I'm called the crazy mom, but yep.
Yeah, crazy mom, monster mom, to, like, the chilled out version that everyone sees now. And they're just like, oh, you're always so calm and peaceful. It's like, oh, I have older kids that could tell different stories.
Yeah, thank goodness in my case, there's no video, but there could have been. My kids didn't have phone videos or else I'd really probably be in trouble. But
yeah, no, same here, right? Because the phones, like they have phones now, but they didn't.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, it wasn't anything that I could go to jail for, but it was just the what used to trigger me was so... I mean, I remember having a knockdown drag out with my son over a pair of socks on the floor. And I realized, I mean, it's silly now, but I realized that, you know, to me, if you loved me and respected me, you'd pick up your socks. And to my son, it was like, it's socks. It's just socks, Mom. Right. It's just socks. Matter of fact, that's what he said. It's just socks, Mom. But in my head, I had made it a disrespectful, horrific thing that only, it, that whole scenario only existed right here. That's what I'm free of. That's what I'm free of.
And you know what? I'm sure a lot of people that are listening to this episode, they'll hear themselves in that statement you just made. And I apologize. I didn't put my phone in airplane either.
I did it. It's still messed up. I don't know what was going on.
We're taking turns, apparently. Like, your phone rang and my phone's...
So, all we're showing is that this is real. This, we're two working women, and this is real.
For real, we are. Yeah. But, you know, like, I hear that a lot, and I'm sure, like, a lot of people listening, they'll hear themselves in that story, because we have really got, like, some serious inner chatter that is just driving us, you know, to the edge of a cliff. I'm going to share a story, you know, in full transparency. So, like, yesterday, I was thinking about all these things, and I was doing the dishes, and then one of my baby girls came down, and she was starting to talk to me, but you know what? The voices in my head, that conversation in my head was so loud that for a split second, I was going to turn to her and snap and say, can you just shut up for a minute? And then I realized, pause, you're talking to yourself about stuff that doesn't matter. All that matters is who's in front of you. And so I turned off the water. And I turned to her full body and I smiled and I said, baby girl, can you repeat that? I had the water on. I didn't hear you.
Now, how powerful is that? Just the power of a single breath.
Yeah.
Seriously, the power of a single breath. And that is a beautiful example of self-regulation. I know that one of the things that I tell my clients, because especially I had this just this week, actually, well, you don't understand. My family did this and my husband did that and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I say to them, there may be drama all around you, but you do not have to buy a ticket to the show.
I like that.
You don't. You just don't. That drama is optional. Life isn't optional. But drama is. I like my drama on TV when I can turn it off, turn it on. I know it's at 9 o'clock or on Thursday or whatever. How to Get Away with Murder used to be on. That was my show. And that's like how I like my drama. I do not like it in my life or in my family.
Yeah. Switch it on, switch it off, and be done with it.
Yep.
Wow. That's really great. So just recap the four love principles for us, and then we'll come back and get into what you are up to in the world.
Great. The Be Love principles. Thank you for asking. The Be Love principles are, first one, greet everyone with an open heart without an agenda. Number two is see the divine essence in everyone and everything. Three is forgive quickly, completely, and unconditionally. And four is remember you never left the light of the all. And what I teach clients and what I would encourage your listeners to do is just take these one by one. For example, greet everyone with an open heart without an agenda. Do that for yourself in the mirror. Don't see yourself as even a woman, or really see the soul in front of you. No agenda. No, you should do this. You should be that at your age. This should have. No, just see the beautiful soul in front of you. All of these, you start with you first.
That's so on point. Yes.
Yep.
Just one at a time. All right. Well, thank you so much for sharing that, Diane. And I can't wait to share what you're up to and how people can connect with you. All right, so we're back, and Diane, you're going to tell us what you have going on this year and what you're offering and where we can find you.
Well, I appreciate you asking, and I do want to say right at the very beginning, anyone who is interested in learning more about the Be Love principles, I set up a free site that not only talks about it, there's a free meditation, a free workbook, a free book. There's also several videos, and that's beloveprinciples.org. And then I'm at dianehaworth.com, dianehaworth.com. And at, especially at dianehaworth.com, you can connect through Instagram, Facebook. I would really encourage people to go to YouTube. That's where our video will be. I have a TV show called Heart-Centered Success with Diane Hayworth, and you and I just finished that hour-long taping.
Yeah.
So that will be up, actually. There's all kinds of topics with that. There's also another section on my YouTube channel called Love Notes, and that's just shorter topic-specific videos that people can check out. So I think it's really important when you do our kind of work to have content that's free. Now, I'm happy and I love to work with clients one-on-one, but I have a variety of ways to do it. You can access my free videos. You can go to Facebook and follow me there. You can also buy my books. They're on Amazon. And again, under my name on Amazon, I'm Diane L. Hayworth, Diane L. period Hayworth. And then in 2020, I'll also be adding a subscription program that I'm really excited about. So if anybody would love to keep up with me, I would really love, love, love to have you on my newsletter list, my email list. And when you sign up, you actually get an immediate PDF of my best-selling Amazon ebook, actually called Living from a Grateful Heart, 10 Gratitude Practices for Individuals, Families, and Groups.
Wow. You know, I agree. Absolutely. 100%. So when you do like heart-centered work,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, because people need to be educated about it, right? What does it mean to be love, right? Because in English, we talked about this a little bit in our interview, like, it's just like there's romantic love or there's mom and dad love, you know, like, I mean, like what you have for your parents kind of love, right? So what is the self-love thing really?
Right.
And, you know, the other part is the emotional piece of it. Like how can we be free to be, right? And how can we embrace our emotions? Because if you're a man, right, you gotta be a man and not have, you know, those kind of girly emotions. And if you're a woman, to some extent, you have to wear a cape too.
Right, right.
So, you know, we've got these societal norms that make us abnormal. And so education is so important in conversations like this where people can listen and better understand how the process works and how you can help them. It's so important.
Yeah, and I take advantage of all the offerings that you have. When you and I were growing up, we didn't have hours and hours and hours and hours of YouTube videos to access free, or people weren't available to actually see and connect with.
Yeah.
So I agree. Not only educate yourself from a topic, but also get a flavor for different folks. You're going to get a slightly different perspective from different teachers. And to me, I think that's what's fun.
Yeah.
I just think that's what's fun.
Yeah. And also, yeah, as you evolve, for sure, you'll seek a different level of teaching and everything. So, yeah.
And there'll be different styles.
Yeah. 100%.
Yes.
So beloveprinciples.org and dianehaworth.com.
Yep.
And, you know, I would like you to just share one last word of wisdom, you know, to close out the show and kind of bring everything that we talked about together.
Oh, I appreciate that. And thank you again for having me on there. And I am on here. I'm just thrilled to connect with you and be able to connect to your audience. So thank you. The one thing that I would tell everybody who's listening and everybody who will ever listen is that you can never be more loved, treasured, or adored than you are right now. You don't have to lose weight. You don't have to make more money. You don't have to be married. You don't have to have kids. You don't have to not have kids. You don't have to have a dog. You don't have to teach your pet ferret how to do tricks. That's not who you are. You are the essence of love right now. And the more you relax into that, the more fun, joyful, free experience you are going to have in this life. And that's what I would encourage everybody to do. Be love.
Thank you. Be love. So nice and simple. So thank you everyone for listening, and for those of you watching on YouTube for watching. And I encourage you that if there were something in here that you really benefited from, if you benefited, sharing is caring. So share this with someone else. Thank you so much and good night. The show with me, your hostess, Cordelia Gafar. So the purpose of the show really is to give you tools and tips to go on that journey of being free to be yourself. Anything that you enjoyed or you found beneficial, make note of it. Start implementing it. See what it actually feels like to do that. And reach out to me and let me know how you come along with that. Most importantly, if it works for you, it's going to work for somebody else. So remember, sharing is caring.